remember the day that you were aware, because this takes us right into level 4. Not only have we understood that it's okay, and that indeed we're called to be a servant of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus of Nazareth, but the day we decide, you know what, I have been his servant, and I choose to continue to be his servant for all the days of my life. And that's a difference in intensity, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It becomes almost the point of, I don't even have a choice. I mean, I do have the choice, but it's almost, there's still such a desire to serve him that it gets beyond my choice even. I don't know how to explain that better, but.
Yeah, I would never choose to go back.
Right.
To go backwards. I want to keep pressing on, going forward into more intimacy with him.
As we move into the bondservant stage, we're more often aware of God's plan as of the paramount importance. And I think there's less of the me, me, I, help me kind of thing. And it's more of what I've experienced is take me up into your plan. I can't say that it's always 100% consistent for me that way, but it was more often that way. Can anybody say it's 100% consistently?
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's
like
the what we were saying about the maturity chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can be at one level of maturity generally, but then there's areas of holes or whatever where you might go back to and realize, wow, I really missed it in this spot, you know? And I think that's true. Even if with our prayer maturity and our faith maturity.
Mm-hmm. And depending upon the situations, too, that come up in our lives, there may be instances where it's very appropriate to say, help me, because we realize, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me.
Mm-hmm. There was a time a couple years ago when it seemed like every time I prayed, everything that came out of my mouth was, I must decrease and you must increase. Just all the time. That was the theme for months and months. And I think at that time I've becoming more and more aware of how much my flesh and my own thoughts and inclinations were such a hindrance. And I remember thinking, I need to get out of the way and just let him do more what he needs to do. And then it's that remodeling picture again that we mentioned before. It's not, it really isn't just that he wants to remodel. It's really he wants to like knock it down and start over.
A whole new creation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about bondservant in biblical times, when someone became a bondservant as compared to a servant, was it they had the awl put through their ears? It was that declaration of saying, I am yours forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's out of a choice. You are choosing who it is that you're going to serve. You're making a definite choice, and I choose to be your bond servant, and it is out of a love because of the relationship that you've established up to that point.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the servant in biblical times might have been established for only a year or two, or up to 7 years, I think in repayment of debt that they couldn't pay any other way. So there was a time limited thing. But the bond servant is, nope, I'm yours.
And that's forever.
That's forever.
I recognize that I have the choice to walk away. But I choose not to.
Yes.
I remember a time, Janelle, when you were on church council and there was a concern that came up and we were talking about a pledge or a vow of, you know, do you remember that? The discipline vow and the whole prayer about I belong to you and I'm going to continue to follow you, and if I fail, I'm going to confess it and then get back on.
Yeah.
And we were talking about what this was like between us, but you were at the council meeting, and I remember you telling me that there were people who were kind of upset, and they said, well, this sounds really serious. I mean, this sounds like you're treating this like a marriage vow. And do you remember what you told me you said at that point?
No, not really. Go ahead and refresh me.
She told me then that she just said to everybody, but it is as important as a marriage vow.
Yeah, it really is.
Commitment.
It's a commitment.
Covenant.
Because, you know, Yahweh Elohim, the creator of the universe, has entered into a covenant relationship with us, whether we know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's at this point that we're starting to understand that in this bondservant, because we're saying, you know, in the biblical picture of putting our ear up against the wall so we can have that all driven through it, I want to be in that covenant relationship with you. I'm here to stay.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, when the deeper awareness of the personal cost.
Yes.
I have all these gains to be in relationship with the master of the universe, but I'm also seeing the cost. People around me may not be understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think we've all seen that as we've come into a deeper understanding that we've lost relationships. We've, mm-hmm. in some cases, lost respect. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult. But again, as you said, Janelle, it's that, and you, Lori, I can't go back.
Yeah.
There's in me that saying, I cannot go back. I want to continue to go forward with you.
Definitely.
We think of the picture of the servant going to look for a bride for Isaac. Was it Rebecca? And you know, will you go with me? And sight unseen, she says yes and receives the gifts and climbs on a camel and rides across the wilderness. And that's where we think we are at this bond servant stage, is that, yes, not having seen you, but having known something of you, we are now choosing to dedicate and declare our life as belonging to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the world becomes less and less important as I've grown in my walk. Television, I don't even know who the popular stars are. The world becomes less real, and my relationship with him, with Yeshua, becomes more real than the world around me.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a worship song like that? When all things that surround become shadows in the light of you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when I worship you.
I worship you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes there's a more passive acceptance of the circumstances without that driving need. I want to know why. Why are you letting this happen in my life? Why?
I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Marilyn. I'm doing better, but I still like to know the whys of things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, but passive, we've talked about passivity and waiting when you're talking about relationship with God, isn't really passive, because it's not that we're just sitting back and letting him act on us. It's actively stepping into resting in him.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, boy, yeah. it's very active. I know that there was a period of time, and every once in a while he still tells me the same thing, stand, wait. And it's like, I remember, yeah, stand firm. I remember thinking, okay, I'm standing. I've been pounded into the ground up to my nostrils. I'm still standing. But it's, yeah.
And that season does end, though.
Yeah, it does.
And then it comes around again.
Yeah, it does. But there is growth in that, too.
Yeah.
Just being able to let go of the why is this happening, but understanding, you know, I'm in this relationship because I trust you, Father, and even though I don't understand it, you do, and you're telling me to stand, to wait. That's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. That trust is a big one, isn't it?
It is. It's very big.
And that's the one that he'd get me with. You know, God would be, you know, do you trust me? Oh, of course. Of course I trust you. No matter what. Well, yeah, no matter what. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the results of the circumstances. Well, and then it gets a little tougher. I'm like, yeah. You know, what about if I took your kids away or you lost your children? Would you still trust me? I mean, he knows exactly. That's the deepest thing for me. And that was a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he still continues to ask, do you trust me? And for me to say, yes, I trust you, even with the worst circumstance that I could imagine, if that happened to me, I wouldn't like it. But yes, I trust you.
You are a good master. I do want to stay with you, even though I don't understand.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's becoming clear to us that it is a covenantal relationship.
Yes.
That we're giving him permission to work more deeply. And this is that flood stage, stepping in, that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we've come to that point, I think. And the perception of God, I think it's just a continuation and extension from the last level.
But a deepening.
Deepening.
A deepening understanding, the more sovereignty.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It seems to me like we're more able, as we move into the bondservant stage, more able to live it out. Because we can know it intellectually, but actually making decisions based on faith, not on common sense. That's what I've been challenged for the last 7 years. And yet not to over-spiritualize. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always that balance that needs to be maintained. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the pitfalls or the traps of that stage, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, confusion between what actually is an attack of the enemy or what is being allowed to happen for the refining, for the purifying, something that may be very painful. I had the dream one time where I just didn't understand why a breakdown in a particular relationship was happening. And I remember just falling on the floor at the base of my bed and just crying out, you know, why is this happening? And he gave me the image of this old gardener in overalls and a hat with this shiny, shiny, sharp, brand new hoe. And there was a flower garden behind him. And then the vision focused in on the hoe and how the gardener was taking it and dividing the root of a flower, and sap was coming out, but it was a very clean cut. And the understanding, and then it went back to the shot of this beautiful, prolific flower garden. And I understood with that even though the refining, the pruning, the dividing of that flower was sharp and painful, yet it was being done for a purpose, and that was to make the garden grow even more and bear more fruit. And that goes right back into John when, you know, Yeshua is talking that we need to be able to bear fruit.
Yep. Yes.
And as we go through the struggles, I always remember I was at a conference one time and we had to get into small discussion groups, and of course, as Set Apart Ministries, you know, we've had our challenges and, you know, resources and things like that. And one of the men said to me, well, you must be doing something wrong. And I just kind of blinked my eyes at him and I thought, that's a judgment, because I believe God is one. Things don't always go perfectly, and those are the refining times. Yes. Are you going to trust me no matter what it looks like?
Yes. You remember Yeshua saying to the disciples, and will you also turn back? And that's when they said, what, Lord, to whom shall we turn? Mm-hmm. You know, you have the words of eternal life. And I think a lot of people do turn back at this point, and they remain satisfied with what their relationship is at that point.
Mm-hmm. And there is that point of, we need to be in constant reflection as well, to, you know, when things are falling apart and reflecting on, is there anything that I'm doing that is causing this to happen? Or, you know, is there any part of my life where I am walking in sin? So we need to be in that constant questioning and reflecting on that, but also understanding there's also such a thing as spiritual attack, where you could be doing everything perfectly right, like Job.
Yes.
God says he was a righteous man.
Yes.
He was the most righteous.
Yes.
And yet God allowed these things to happen to him, these most horrible things to happen to him.
And to know him in his suffering is part of what we're called to do too. But it's just not real popular.
No.
And did you ever notice in Job, God never answered the question why?
You may remember my telling you I took a retreat, must be about 4 years ago, I think. I believe I had 27 questions that I needed an answer to. I had them all journaled out, and I left for 3 days, and I'm like, okay, I want answers. I'm here, I'm listening, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm here. And I came home with one answer. He is sovereign. That's it. But you know what? I kept those notes in my prayer journal, and over the next year and a half, I think about 15 of them had answers. But I was satisfied. That's what I needed to know. He is sovereign.
And that's the hard part when there is that period of silence, when he, you know, when we question, when we ask, when we pray, and we're truly seeking him, his face, and his will, and then he's silent. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult. I know that there was a devotional in Oswald Chambers talking about that silent time that had impressed me, and Marilyn, it had really
impressed you too, that it's that silent time. Are we going to still trust him even when he's silent?
Yes, yeah. Keep walking in the direction you have understood.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's where with the bond service, I think, you know, in the earlier stages, there's more the emotion, the feeling. And the bond servant, it's, and the servant, it's based upon my faith. My faith, my belief in the scriptures, is God who he says he is his word true?
Mm-hmm. And even if it's a difficult time and we don't understand why it's happening, all things work for the good mm-hmm. of those who are in Messiah Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is this the point where we came to more of an understanding of feelings are not facts?
I don't know, is it? Yeah, and the whole idea of understanding that he does have sovereign control and that he is good and that he is for us and that we have committed our lives to him leaves us, hopefully, ideally, it leaves us in a position to be free and not be being harassed as much by fears, that we don't have to be in a performance bond with him. We can just be in a love bond and be who we really are. And when we have that freedom, then we're freer to develop. So it feeds on itself, I think. Mm-hmm. But, oh my goodness, haven't we all found there's so many distractions from that.
Oh.
And then having other people say, well, maybe you're not in obedience, you know, maybe that's why you're having this struggle. Mm-hmm. So that probably for me is where the corporate part comes in. Janelle's been my prayer partner for 10 years, you know, and Marilyn for what, four now? You know, this has been important for all of us to be able to reinforce and pray and check.
Yeah.
So that we are accountable. We're not just in a vacuum somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this stage, too, this is where that joy, the joy bonds and the returning to joy is probably the most important, because we are tested in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as we can return to joy, and as long as we have that basic foundation of the joy, all of these trials, all of the testings, all of the things that are allowed in our life, that we can still return to joy, we still know that He is our joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then
yes.
How much more effective is our witness?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Because we don't know who or how many people are observing us during our struggles and how we respond. And if we respond within that joy,
yes.
That surety of who he is and our relationship.
That's a testimony in itself.
Yes.
So much so.
Mm-hmm. And that's what helps to develop that idea of, how is it worded now, that staying who I am in no matter what the situation, to
yes.
be myself right. no matter what the situation, and that's
mm-hmm.
what develops that
mm-hmm.
that whole ability
the
to
maturity thing.
To be myself.
Yes, the adult person that can maintain the peace, and when there's a stressful situation, bring yourself back to joy and the people around you.
Right.
And that's what Yeshua is for us. He
yes.
he brings us back to joy if we can't in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But he also trusts us to encourage one another in order to do that.
And by his grace, he develops that within us.
Yes. Yes.
Because he is within us.
Yes.
That's what's coming out. It's not me, it's not Janelle, but it's Yeshua in Janelle.
Yes. Yeah. And Lori, I remember the time you came and said, you know, I'm to trust Messiah in you. You know, that's what he showed you, and that's the thing. That what we are looking at is him in us.
Yes.
And we know that we all have the personal failings, but how are we going to continue to encourage and nurture his appearance in us and through us?
And human beings are human.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if we are looking at each other just on a human level, just, you know, we can learn to trust each other, but there will never be that complete trust, because we're human, and there will be disappointments, etc., and there will be difficulties, but that's just...
We're looking forward to that new body.
Yes.
Yes.
We can look to him and trust him in each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Janelle, you mentioned the postures of prayer before,
mm-hmm.
and I think when I think of bondservant, I just felt and sensed myself at his feet. During prayer time, that's my image of who I am and where I am. And if he raises me up, amen, hallelujah. Because, you know, there's a song about that too. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And that's where we need to be. But so you can imagine my surprise and our surprise last year when I started understanding, okay, there's another level yet.